To John chapter number 6. Now we had the big Baptist Youth Challenge Day yesterday and had a good turnout, and our church, our young people did real well. All of them did. Nobody got hurt. I thank the Lord for that. I got to, one of my job was to run the Warrior Dash, a little obstacle course that we had set up for the young people. And I told somebody, I said, I must be getting old. All I see is potential for sprained ankles and broke arms, and somebody's going to get hurt. But nobody got hurt, and I praise the Lord for that. And so, but it was a good day. Had good preaching services and good response, and it was just a good day overall. But very, very tiring. I came home, sat down. I think I lasted about 5 minutes. I fell asleep. I think Chloe fell asleep. I had to take a nap before bedtime. I was so tired. And so it was a good day, though, and we thank the Lord for that. John chapter number 6. We're going to read this, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And like I said, we have much to pray for today. We have not only Sister Shirley, but Brother Finley. And let's remember him in our prayers, and then the college ministry, the school ministries, the Yes Clubs. There's a lot going on. So we'll read this, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. John chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse number 1, and we're going to read down through verse number 14. The Bible said, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's pray. Lord, we come today, and I want to thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we can open your Word. We can be led of your Spirit. We can see things, Lord, that you show us and teach us from there. And it causes us, it helps us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so we pray, first of all, that you'd take the message, that you would use it today as you see fit, and that you would speak to our hearts. And then we have other things we've been praying about, people we're praying for, people that are sick. We have a lot of people that are sick, and some are very sick. Lord, we pray for them this morning. We pray for their families. We pray for those that have lost loved ones. And we pray for our nation today, as we realize there's a lot of turmoil and there's a lot of division in our country. Lord, we know that division is not from Thee. Lord, we realize today that what our country needs is You. They need the Lord Jesus, the one that gives peace. When there is no peace, Lord, I'm thankful for the peace of God. I'm thankful, Lord, for what we have in Christ. And dear Lord, we come today asking for your help, asking you would help us, speak to our hearts
and give great liberty to preach thy word. And we'll thank you. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. I'm going to go back this morning and start in verse number 9. In verse number 9, the Bible says, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" And the miracle of the feeding of the multitudes, that's what this is usually called. If you have a heading in your Bible, it might say something like feeding the 5,000. Of course, that was just 5,000 men that are mentioned here. And there was also women and children as well. We find that out in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This miracle of the feeding of the multitudes is mentioned in all 4 of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And where one gives a little additional information and then the other one adds a little bit, you get a real good picture of what happened on this day that Jesus fed the multitudes. But only the book of John records the key to the miracle. Only the book of John lets us know where these 5 loaves and these 2 fishes come from. And the Bible said it was 2 small fishes. But only the book of John says in verse number 9, there's a lad here. This food that the Lord Jesus used to feed the multitudes came from this lad. The Bible says there is a lad here. And that's what I want to try to preach on today. Now, I preached on, I guess you'd say last Sunday, a message directed towards our young people. And I guess you could say today would be a message directed primarily to or about the young people. The word lad, that's not a word we use a whole lot, but the word lad is a Bible word. And it's an old English word as well. It comes from a word that would be pronounced luth, which is where we get our word youth from. And so the word lad, it means youth. It means to bear. It means to have children. The word lad means a young man or a young boy. And then the counter to that would be in the Bible the word damsel. And so we read about young men and young women in the Bible, young boys and young girls. And many places we find that God used young people. And when I was a little boy and growing up in church, we had different things for the young people. And we had these activity books, and you'd read your Bible and you'd answer questions and you'd do different things. And if you finished a book, you'd get a little pen. And I guess maybe mom might have them. I don't know where they are, but you'd get a pen if you finished a book. And your first one, it'd say lad 1. And then you get a nut, they finish the next book, you say lad 2 and lad 3. And I don't remember what was after that, but that was your little reward. And so they called it being a lad. And that just means a little boy. And then the girls, they had something that they would do as well. But the setting here that we find in John chapter number 6, we find that the multitudes follow the Lord Jesus. He goes away. He goes into a mountain. And the multitudes, they had heard and they'd seen the miracles, and he had healed sick people. And so they sought him out. They found out where the Lord was, and they went where he was. They followed him. Mark chapter 6, verse 35, the Bible says, "Now the day was far spent." And I've heard, and I've probably said this as well, talking about the little boy that gave his lunch. But it wasn't his lunch, it was supper time. It was down in the day. The day was far spent. It was past lunchtime. It was past dinner time. It was down in the evening that this takes place. The Bible also tells us that this was a desert place. That nothing was around. There was nowhere for them to go and to set down all these people to have a meal. There's no restaurant, of course. There's no grocery store. The Bible tells us here that as they looked around late in the day, there was nothing to eat for them. Well, now you know these were a bunch of Baptists because you can't get Baptists to do anything without eating. In fact, I said Wednesday night after church, I said, that was a miracle. We did something after church. It did not involve food. We just went over there and done the work and went home and probably had a snack. I know I did. Have you ever thought about how much we do revolves around food? I mean, that's okay. That's good. But here they are, and here's these multitudes, and they look around, and the day is far spent, and it's a desert place, and the Bible said they had nothing to eat. And the Bible said in John 6, verse number 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? How are we going to feed all these people? That's what the Lord said. This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. He said, if we had 200 pennyworth, we'd take this much money, and that wouldn't be enough to buy for everybody just to take a little bit. But I really like verse number 6. The Bible said this, he said, to prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. No matter what the situation might look like, we need to keep in mind that although we don't know what the Lord's going to do, the Lord knows what the Lord's going to do. And sometimes he allows things to come into our life to prove us, to test us. Are we going to have faith? Are we going to follow the Lord? But the Lord always knows what he's going to do. And he always knows what the answer is. And I get a great great blessing out of that. So what we have here in John chapter number 6, we have a hungry multitude. And we find out the disciples have no money and they have no bread. They said, if we had the money, Philip answers the Lord. Of course, we don't have it. But if we did have it, it wouldn't be enough for all of them just have a little bit. And so we find there's a situation here that the Lord has to perform another miracle. And the key to this passage of Scripture is in verse number 9. There is a lad here. Everything revolves around this young man, this boy, that gives his food to the Lord. And so I want to point out some things about this morning. Number one, there is a lad here, and I want to say first that he gave first. And this is why I say that he had the key to the miracle in his lunchbox, we might say. He had the key to the miracle because the multitude needs to be fed, and the disciples are not able to do that. They do not have the money. They do not have the bread. But the Lord Jesus put it on them to feed the multitudes. He said in verse number 5, basically says to Philip, when the Lord Jesus saw the great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip, where are we going to get money? How are we going to feed this great multitude that is coming unto us? And I want you to notice, if you study out this passage of Scripture, that nobody eats anything. Nobody has their need met until this lad first gives. Somebody has to give first. Somebody has to move first. I mean, and we find that's what the lad does. There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and two fishes. He gave first. He was the first to give what we might say, give his lunch, give his meal, give his supper. But you know what? He was not the last to give. Because what we learn from this passage of Scripture this morning is that the Lord can take our little and make a great blessing out of it. But he had to give first. He was the first to give. But he was not the last to give. I was studying this through the Bible. You can find a great number of people that we might say gave first. Hannah gave first. You remember, now this is back in the Old Testament, but over there in the Old Testament, oh, she wanted a child so bad. You remember, and she went to the Lord and she said, boy, If you'll bless me, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back. And God did, and she did. And God not only gave her Samuel, but God gave her other children as well. I read over there in Acts chapter number 2 on the day of Pentecost. I mean, here these disciples, this early church, they'd met together. They'd had a prayer meeting that in an upper room that had lasted for 10 days. And finally, the day of Pentecost came, and the Bible says Peter standing up with the 11. Peter stood up first. The others stood up with him. Somebody's got to go first. You know, if we're handing out ice cream cones, everybody wants to be first. If we say, would somebody like to lead in prayer, nobody wants to go. It just depends on what's going on. Sometimes we want to be first. Sometimes you can't find anybody. But here we find a little boy and he went first. We find that the Apostle Paul, you know, in his ministry, he tried and he tried and he tried to go to the Jews. And boy, I'll tell you, that was a discouraging thing. And finally, Paul says, I'll go to the Gentiles. Nobody else is going to the Gentiles. I'll go to the Gentiles. Boy, I praise the Lord that Paul went to the Gentiles. That's all of us this morning. Unless we have a Jewish brother or sister with us this morning, and if we do, we're glad you're here. But I'm pretty sure most all of us are just unworthy Gentiles. I'm glad Paul said, I'll go. You know, after Paul, a whole lot of others went. And that's why we're here today. But somebody has got to go first. I preached on this last year a little bit. I taught about this in our church history class at school, and we learned about William Carey in England, and they had a desire to go to the foreign countries, and nobody was doing that. Nobody was going, and William Carey said, you know, I'll go. And he told the other men there in the church, he said, I'll go if you'll hold the rope. He said, I'll go first. Somebody has to go first. Somebody has to give first. And this young lad, this young man here, of all the multitudes that were there on that day, he gave first. I was thinking about this. You know, just a few years ago, in the churches that are in our community, in our county, and surrounding around, churches didn't have faith promise missions like we have today. I'm not saying they didn't give to missions. They've been given to missions and missionaries for a long time. But somebody had to start and say, you know, we're gonna give the Bible away. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And there are many, many churches today that are doing a whole lot more for missions than they were just 20 years ago. Because somebody said, you know, we got to give first. We want to go. Look around, think about a few years ago, nobody was going into the public schools, but they are now. There's a lot of them going. Somebody had to go first. Isn't it a blessing? Isn't it a privilege? We've got missionaries out of our church going into the public schools, Character Under Construction. Collegians for Christ. Brother Kyle has more on his hands now than he by himself is able to do. But he was one of the first. And now there's a lot of churches. You see, what going first? Yesterday I did the obstacle course. You got to go over the first wall, under the second wall, through the third wall, go across a balance beam, get a piece of the puzzle, bring it all back, and I'd stand there and I'd explain. And I'd say, now who wants to go first? And some of them, nobody wanted to do that first. That looked pretty intimidating. But I noticed this, if somebody would say, I'll go first, all the rest of them lined up behind. If somebody gives first, you know what it does? It encourages others. If they could do it, I could do it. And it amazed me, you know who wanted to go first a lot of times? The smallest one. Like in the scripture this morning. The lad gave first. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 5 says about the churches there in Macedonia that they first gave their own selves to the Lord. That's what the Lord's looking for this morning. we would first give our own selves to the Lord. There's a lad here. He said he'd give his lunch. He gave first. Number two, this morning, not only he gave first, but think about this morning. He gave fast. He gave fast. The Bible said in Mark chapter 6 and verse number 35, the Bible said over there, the time is far past. The day in John chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, Luke chapter 9, Matthew chapter number 14, the day was far past. What does that mean in the Bible? It means this. It means it was getting late. It means time was getting gone. It means it's going to be dark soon. Time was of the essence. Now this little boy, this little lad that gave his food to the Lord, he didn't say, I'll wait until I've got more. You know, a lot of times that's our attitude. Well, I don't have much to give. But you know, down the road, when I get older, I'll have more to give. I'll wait until I'm married. I'll come back at a later time, and I would be glad to give some of them. See, so many times we put off what the Lord would like to do in our life right now. We think, down the road I'll be able to do this, and later on I'll be able to do that. But what God's interested is right now, today. Well, that little boy had to work fast. He had to give fast. He didn't put it off. He didn't push it down the road. He didn't say, I'm wait till I'm older. I'll wait till I get married. Do you know, a lot of times if you wait down the road, you won't. Because other things come in. Other things flood our lives. We've heard our own missionaries out of this church. Studies have been done. Many times when young people go off to college, that's the very time they go away from the Lord. That's the very time they get out of church. You wait till later, you might not. That little lad had to give fast right now. John chapter number 6, Jesus said this in John 9 in verse number 4. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The Lord Jesus is coming soon. And what we are going to do for him, we must do with urgency. The Lord told the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, they had left their first love. And the Lord Jesus said, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove the candlestick. What you're going to do for the Lord, you better do it now. You better not put it off down the road until some other time. The Lord asks us, the Lord is looking for some that will give now. If that little lad had not given his lunch, I believe the Lord would have said, John, Peter, somebody, dismiss us in prayer. We're going home. What if that little boy hadn't give what he did? The Lord said to the disciples, you feed them. If you study in Luke chapter number 9, do you know what the disciples said? The disciples came to the Lord. Some of them came to the Lord and they said, it's getting late. We need to dismiss in prayer. We need to send them out into the country so that they can go and find themselves something to eat. That was the disciples' answers. The disciples didn't have the bread. They didn't have the money. And the disciples came to the Lord. They saw the need, but they couldn't meet it. And they said, send them away. That's what the disciples did. If that little boy hadn't gave what he did, I don't believe we'd be reading about that this morning. I believe that he said, somebody pray, send them home. No miracle, no feeding of the multitudes. I'll tell you, a lot of times why we go home from church empty and we go home and say, oh, how was the service? Oh, it was okay. A lot of times it's because somebody didn't act fast on what God was impressing on their heart to do. I'm telling you, if the Lord impresses on your heart to go to the altar, you ought to go right then. If the Lord impresses on your heart to testify, do you know how many blessings we've missed down through the years because we say, well, you know, it's about lunchtime and people's anxious and antsy and they want to go home and I just won't say anything, but boy, I'd like to testify. You didn't act fast and everybody went home hungry. We didn't go to the altar, we didn't pray. Somebody might feel impressed to sing a song. Somebody might feel impressed to surrender their life to the Lord. There's no telling what would happen in our midst if we would act upon what God's impressing upon us to do, if we'd act on it right then. Hey, the little boy looked around and he said, you know, I don't know what I can do, but I'll give my lunch. I'll give my food. I'll give my 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He gave fast. Number 3, he gave in faith. Look what the Bible says in verse 9. There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Well, that just screams of the faith of the disciples, doesn't it? Hey, we got a little bit, but you know, compared to the great need that we have, it's just not much. He had to give in faith. I really find it hard to believe that this little lad is the only person out of 5,000 men, plus the women and the children, he's the only one that had anything. I mean, if I go to Boone, I'm sticking a granola bar in my pocket. I've got me some water to drink or something. My dad was a truck driver, and anywhere we would go, he'd say, you know, you might break down. You might break down, and you might have to walk. Better take a jacket. Better have something to eat. Better be prepared. And you're telling me, out of all these people, that nobody's got some beef jerky or nobody has a moon pie or nothing in their pocket. Surely somebody, some of them fishermen didn't have something, and some mama didn't have some Cheerios for her youngins, I don't know. But there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people out here. And nobody's got anything. I think most would be afraid to mention what they did have. Well, I've got a loaf of bread in my pocket, but they would look around and see all them people. Well, that wouldn't make any difference. I'll just keep my bread in my pocket. I'll just keep my moon pie for the trip home. Looks like we're not going to have anything to eat. That little boy had to give in faith. Everybody look around and say, what I've got's nothing. The lad didn't think like Philip did. Philip thought in verse number 7, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. See, all Philip thought of was dollars and cents. How much is it going to take to buy enough food for all of these people? That little boy just gave what he had in faith, trusting the Lord to bless and multiply what he gave. He didn't have to have it all explained to him. He didn't try to figure it all out. He just knew God wanted him to give it, and he gave it. And he gave it up, he left it up to the Lord. See, Philip and the disciples, oh, that's nothing among so many. That is what we call sometimes childlike faith. If we're really going to please the Lord, if we're really going to be used of God in His service, we've got to have some childlike faith in our lives. What we have, maybe it's not much. God didn't call us to feed the multitudes. God just called us to be faithful with what we've got. He's the one that fed the multitudes. He's the one that blessed it and multiplied it. And the churches of Macedonia are held up by the Apostle Paul many different times. And the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 8 and 4 that when Paul came through town, they were praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. And so the churches at Macedonia, every time Paul came through, they said, Paul, look, we've got something for you. Give me a pocket. Let us fill your pockets up with what we've got. But you know the churches of Macedonia, you know what's interesting about them? they gave, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, out of deep poverty. They were broke. They didn't have nothing. Do you know, the great majority of the time, the ones that do the most are the ones that have the least. The ones that give the most are the ones that you look at and think, well, they don't have anything to give. But God takes that little bit and God blesses it. And many times the ones that have the least are the most giving. That's how that little boy was. He gave in faith that the Lord was just going to take this, and however he decided to use it, or however he could use it, that would be all right with him. And the little boy learned something, knew something that it would help us to learn in our lives, that, boy, if we'll put the Lord first, we'll put others second, and ourselves last, we'll find the Lord can take that and bless that. He gave in faith. Number four this morning, he gave without fear. He gave without fear. I can just imagine the scene in my mind, and the multitudes, and the disciples are out there. And Jesus said to the disciples, he said, you give them something to eat. Can you imagine the disciples maybe congregating together a little bit there? Fellas, the Lord told us to feed them. How are we going to feed them? We don't have any money. Philip, Bartholomew, some of you fellas, go out there and see if anybody's got anything. Let's try to figure this out. The Lord told us to do this. Surely there's a way to do it. And here the disciples are. Well, I'm telling you, there's no McDonald's. There's no food truck. What's up with food trucks in Boone now? I told Kim the other day, I said, I never seen a food truck in Boone in all the days of my life, and now on every corner. And I saw one coming to church this morning. Trucks beside the road. We don't have enough food in the restaurants and the grocery stores. Now, if you in between them, you got somewhere you can stop and get some food. I mean, it's everywhere. Them disciples looked around. There wasn't even a mama with a big family that had a picnic basket. Nobody. And I can see Philip out there looking around, wandering through the crowd. And I see a little lad maybe walk up beside of him. Mr. Philip, what you looking for? Oh, I was just seeing maybe if anybody had anything to eat out here. You know, people's getting hungry. Well, you can have my food. Most people would be afraid. See, fear of man keeps us from doing what we really ought to do. And we're afraid so many times of what other people are going to think. Man, that hurts us. Even when it's just us. What will anybody think if I go to the altar? Well, if they're right with God, they'll probably think that's good. They might even join you and help you pray. But we're scared to get death. What, somebody's going to think I've been doing something I shouldn't have been doing. Somebody's going to think I've got a problem. Well, you know what? We've all got problems. But we don't want anybody to know we've got problems. We've all got needs. We've all got situations that are not exactly right. But fear keeps us from doing what we know we ought to do. He wasn't afraid of what the disciples were going to think. He wasn't afraid of what anybody else would think. You know, the devil would slide up beside of you and say, you better not give you lunch. Somebody will think you're just doing it to be noticed. He just gave it. He just said, I feel like this is what I need to do. And he just done it. And Philip comes along. Well, there's a lad here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 small fishes is what the Bible says. That little boy didn't say, well, if I do this, they'll laugh at me. The Bible said in Proverbs 29 and verse number 25, it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Boy, you ought to look that one up and underline it. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You know what a snare is? A snare is a trap that an animal gets caught in, and it usually is made of wire or twine in those days, something like that. And it tangles the animal up, and boy, it can't get out, catches it. And boy, we get afraid of what other, and that keeps us from not doing what we know the Lord wants us to do. I'm afraid of what they'll think. But he gave without fear. And then last of all this morning, he gave and they were fed. Nobody gets nothing unless this lad gives what he gives. But when he gave what he gave, it fed everybody. Look at verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. They didn't just have a little, like we do at communion. Can you feed 100 people? I don't know why we have 10 loaves of bread or whatever we have. You can feed 100 people off of a piece of bread that big around and only use a quarter of it. We just barely take a little pinch. I'll tell you, those folks, they ate till they were full. I'm not saying we need to eat like that at the Lord's Supper, but I mean, they were like they were at the Golden Corral. And they had bread and they had fish. And the Bible said not a little there. In verse number 11, the Bible said as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. They didn't just have a little after church snack. They ate till they were filled, and there was enough left over, 12 baskets full, and nobody went away hungry. When that little lad, when the lad gave, they were all fed. Now, can you imagine that little lad? And he leaves home maybe that morning, and maybe his mom says, hey, I'm going to put you something in here to eat later. Do you think as he carried his little lunchbox down the road that he ever imagined the potential that before the day was over that thousands of people would be fed out of that? If he hadn't gave it, they wouldn't have. But when he gave it, it fed the multitudes. There's no telling that this morning that the Bible says there is a lad here. And I say this morning at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, there is a lad here. There's a lot of lads here. There's a lot of young men, young lives, young boys, young girls, youth, young married couples. And if we would give what God asks us to give, there's no telling the potential. If you looked around, if you just saw Preacher Melvin when he was a little boy, nobody said he's going to be a preacher. Maybe his mom. Nobody looks around and says, oh, there's a preacher, there's a missionary, there's a doctor, there's a teacher, there's somebody that's going to change the world, there's somebody that's going to be a great witness. But we don't know today. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of potential here. But we'll have to be like that lad. And all that lad did was this: I don't have much, but what I have, I'm going to give it to the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants out of us. I know we would all stand up and testify today and say, I don't have much, but what I have, I'm going to give it to the Lord. There might be some songwriters here. There might be some choir leaders here. There might be some future Sunday school teachers. We don't know what's here this morning, but I'll tell you, there's a lad here. There's some boys, there's some girls. School's getting ready to start. There's no telling what God could do in your lives. There's some young people here. There's some young people at heart here. What if we just gave like the little boy? My goodness, what God could do. He gave and they were fed. The multitudes were fed and there was much left over. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed and